What would you say are the biggest events that have occurred in the past 100 years? World War II? The fall of the Berlin Wall? The invention of the World Wide Web? I know personally that one of the biggest events in my own life was the day that I was baptized. I remember everything about it, January 30th, 2023. It was a Monday. My dad came home from work. At around 7 p.m., my sister and I told my parents that we wanted to get baptized. My dad asked us a few questions, and then my mom texted Mr. David. We arrived at the church building around 7:45 p.m. I remember going into the water. It was warm, by the way. Then I was baptized. It was the biggest event of my life. While I recall those events, I remember why I made that decision. This morning, I want to share with you what the Bible tells us about baptism. So the first thing we have to realize is that baptism is imperative to become saved. Baptism is the only way. In Acts 2:38, when asked to do what to be saved, Peter commanded that we do two things, repent and be baptized. Galatians 3:27 says, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." This teaches us that those who are baptized into Christ have put on Christ by becoming sons of God. Since salvation is found in Christ, baptism is a must in becoming saved and not an optional choice. John chapter 3, verses 3 through 7 teaches us that we must be born again to enter his kingdom, heaven, by being born of water and the Spirit. Peter tells us in 1 Peter 3:21 through 22 that baptism saves us through the resurrection of Jesus. Mark 16:16 reads, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." The Bible also specifies that there is one baptism, Ephesians 4, verse 5. That one baptism of the Bible is water baptism of Christ's Great Commission in Matthew 28:19, verse 20. In these verses and many others, we can see that the Bible makes it clear-cut that baptism is essential for us to be saved, to have eternal life. Second point is that when we are baptized, we are buried with Christ. Baptism means that we are buried in water, just like Jesus was buried in a tomb. First, let's look at how baptism is defined. So the definition of baptism is to dip, immerse, submerge in water. Baptism consists of the process of immersion, submersion, and emergence, and translated from Greek to English, to baptize means to plunge, dip, and wash. So baptism requires us going into water, Acts 8, verse 38, and coming out of water, Acts 8:39, Mark 1:10. Finally, in practice, baptism requires much water, John 3, verse 23. So you're truly buried into water when you are baptized, like Jesus was buried in a tomb. So now that we have a solid understanding of what baptism actually looks like, look in your Bibles with me in Romans chapter 6 in verses 1 through 3. Romans 6, 1 through 3. It reads, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death?" This means that when we are baptized, we die to eternal consequences of sin, as we are now separated from our past sins. This is just like when Jesus died on the cross to save us from our sins, giving us the chance with him in heaven, which can be found in Matthew 26:28. Christ's death is where his blood was shed for us in John 19:34. There are many benefits of the death of Christ, which are made possible only through the blood of Jesus. Through the blood of Jesus, we can be forgiven. Colossians 1:14, Ephesians 1:7. Through the blood of Jesus, we can be washed. Revelation 1:5, 7:14. Through the blood of Jesus, we can be redeemed. Ephesians 1:17. Through the blood of Jesus, we can be justified. Romans 5:9. Through the blood of Jesus, we can be cleansed. Hebrews 9:14. Through the blood of Jesus, we can be purified, Hebrews 9:22. Through the blood of Jesus, we can be sanctified, Hebrews 10:29. Through the blood of Jesus, we can be saved, Romans 5:9. And through the blood of Jesus, we can be at peace, Colossians 1:20. So all the benefits we have from the blood of Jesus come when we are baptized into his death, like in Romans 6, verse 3. So the third point is that when we are baptized, we are freed in a newness of life. So look with me in verse 4 in Romans 6. It reads, Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. So the purpose of being buried with Christ through baptism is to be raised from the waters of baptism to walk in a newness of life. So notice how God placed baptism before the newness of life. We are buried first, raised second, then able to walk in the newness of life third. This order is significant because that's exactly the way it's stated in verse 4. There's no reason for us to change God's order. Now look in verse 6. Verse 6, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. So the old man, not referring to an old man, actually, but us living an old life before baptism, was crucified with Jesus. So for us, that means when we get baptized, we lose our old life and start a new one. What does this new life look like? What type of benefits do we get from this new life? Look in verse 7. For he who has died has been freed from sin. In this new life, we have freedom from sin. This agrees with Acts chapter 22, verse 16, where it states that our sins are now washed away when we become baptized. Now read with me in verses 17 and 18. Verse 17, but God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. We go from being slaves of sin in the old life, before baptism, to being slaves of righteousness once we are baptized. Finally, and most importantly in verses 8 and 23, we are now able, in the newness of life, to have a new fellowship with God and have eternal life with him in heaven. So notice the progression here. We have seen that when we are baptized, we die to eternal consequences of sin, just as Jesus died for our sins on the cross. We have also seen that baptism involves a burial in water, just as Jesus was buried in a tomb. Now we see that we are raised from baptism to walk in the newness of life, just as Jesus was raised from the dead on the third day. Baptism mirrors the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So in the Bible, when we read in Acts, what was the response of the people when they heard about the resurrection of Jesus Christ? How did they act? How did they respond? Let's get three different responses. Turn your Bibles over to Acts chapter 8. So the first response we'll look at is the Ethiopian eunuch. Acts chapter 8. Follow along with me in verse 26. Verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise, and go toward the south along the road, which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So Philip obeys and encounters an Ethiopian eunuch, who is a high official in verse 27. The eunuch had got to Jerusalem and was returning home in his chariot. In verse 28, the Bible tells us that this eunuch was reading from the prophet Isaiah. Spirit tells Philip in verse 29 to approach the chariot. In verses 30 through 34, Philip asks the eunuch if he understands what he is reading from Isaiah. The eunuch explains that he needs someone to guide him, invites Philip into his chariot, and asks whether Isaiah's prophecy about the suffering servant was about him or someone else. Verse 35 reads, then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. As they travel, they come to the water, and the eunuch says, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? In the next verse, 37, he confesses his faith in Christ, saying, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. In verse 38, Philip baptizes the eunuch as they go down into the water, on the side of a road in a deserted place. And in the end, the eunuch goes on his way rejoicing after he was baptized in verse 39. The Ethiopian eunuch was immediately baptized when he heard of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now let's look at a second response. Turn your Bibles, flip a few pages over to Acts chapter 16. So this story is about the Philippian jailer. Look with me in verse 25. So in Acts 16, verse 25, we see that Paul and Silas are praying and singing hymns to God in prison. and the other prisoners are listening. Then suddenly something drastic happens. Look with me in verse 26. Verse 26 states, "Suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed." In the next verse, 27, we read how the jailer wakes up, sees the prison doors open, and assumes that all the prisoners have escaped, so he begins to make plans to kill himself. But then Paul calls out to him, telling him not to harm himself because all the prisoners are still there. Verse 29 reads, "Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas." Verse 30, "And he brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?' Paul and Silas reply in 31, 'Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household.' Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house." What do you think the jailer did? Look in the next verse, 33. "And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were baptized. And in the end, he brings them into his house, sets food before them, and he rejoices after he is baptized." The Philippian jailer was immediately baptized in the same hour that night in his response to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The third response we'll look at is the crowd on Pentecost in Acts 2. Flip your Bibles over to Acts 2. So starting in Acts 2, starting in verse 1, the disciples are all together in one place, which is in an upper room, on the day of Pentecost. And then, like the earthquake from the story of the jailer, something drastic happens in verse 2. Acts 2, verse 2, "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." So they all began to speak in different languages and went out to spoke to the devout Jews from many different nations that were there. They were amazed as they heard the disciples of Jesus speaking in their own language, so much so that they thought they were drunk in verse 13. In verses 14 through 36, Peter stands and preaches Jesus as the fulfillment of prophecy. Look at the crowd's reaction in verse 37. Verse 37, "Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, 'Men and brethren, what shall we do?'" If you had to guess, what do you think Peter said to them? Next verse, 38, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." How did the crowd respond? Go to verse 41. "Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them." On the same day, 3,000 people were immediately baptized when the crowd heard of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What should our response be? What about you? What's your response? Were you baptized in the way it was described in Romans 6? Ananias asked Saul of Tarsus, "Why are you waiting to be baptized?" Saul was doing good. After encountering Christ and losing his eyesight, Saul was fasting for 3 days, Acts 9, verse 11. He was praying in verse 11. "While those are good things to do as Christians, you cannot enter God's plan of salvation and the gift of eternal life until you are baptized." After Ananias asked Saul, "Why are you waiting?" he was finally baptized and entered into God's kingdom. Why are you waiting? Is there something hindering you from being baptized? What's holding you back? Baptism is the greatest decision that you can make in your life. How do I make that decision? First, have to believe that Jesus is the Son of God, Mark 16, verse 16. You then have to repent of your sins, just like the crowd did on Pentecost in Acts 2. After that, you have to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, just like the Ethiopian eunuch did in Acts 8, verse 37. Then you are baptized into Christ, Acts 2, 38, becoming saved through the resurrection of Jesus, 1 Peter 3, verse 21. You then become a Christian and are added to the church, Acts 2, verse 47. So if you want to become a Christian today, And if you want to be saved in God's plan of salvation through baptism, make your way up to the front as together we stand and sing.